Hello, this is Harry Pearson, and welcome to ArtCast. ArtCast is a panel-style discussion podcast featuring panel members from inside and outside Microsoft as they discuss and debate architectural topics. Each month, we'll feature a new topic and new panelists, and we will post their ongoing discussions weekly. For more information, please visit the Architecture Resource Center at microsoft.com/architecture. Our ArtCast continues this week with our panel members grappling with web service standards that are not quite yet standardized.
Hi, this is Michelle again. To Roger's point about the need to hide the standards from the end user, I definitely agree that this is the direction we need to head in. And in fact, I guess I would say that we're already heading in that direction well with Indigo platform, for example, because we already have the ability to dynamically exchange policy, discover what the security policy is for an endpoint, and actually in an encapsulated manner, the client is able to do a fully federated token exchange without really writing any code on the client side because it's all encapsulated fully by the system. And I think that, of course, other platforms are heading in this direction as well. The problem I see is that we're many, many years away from all platform vendors and middleware vendors implementing the standards in their final form. And, of course, we still have the issue of standards getting approved in their final form. So until we get to the point where all systems agree on this, that dynamic metadata exchange is not necessarily going to be all that valuable across platforms without needing to understand the XML under the hood, because we're going to have people that implement standards before they're final and actually deploy systems that are based on those not final standards, which means that ultimately they're going to have a compatibility issue potentially down the road. We're not going to be able to stop that because we want early adopters, but with early adoption comes the pain of, do we migrate to the latest final approved standard? So businesses have to make a monetary decision about that, and many businesses don't have the budget to just keep upgrading their software if they've got a working solution. And I would argue that we don't need it to be fully dynamic because, frankly, most business exchanges on web services today are not requiring dynamic discovery of endpoints they're compatible with. Rather, they're partnerships. They're businesses that either have applications they need to integrate, therefore they sculpt it specifically, or they're businesses that actually do business with an external partner and actually have agreed upon some sort of communication mechanism between them. So depending on the industry you're in, the value of completely dynamic discovery and metadata exchange has varied value at this point today. So I would say that, you know, we will get there, but we'll have to make some pains along the way. And, you know, it's definitely years off before we're able to completely hide the XML. There are going to be developers that must know the XML to overcome interop issues because of the differences in the on the way to adoption and finally adopted standards.
Hi, this is Jeff. I was at the PDC 2 weeks ago when a customer dropped by our communications track lounge with an interop problem. Oh yeah, I know what you're thinking. They developed both client and service on one platform, but when they tried to get a client up and running on our platform, they ran into trouble. Now the first platform vendor claimed they're using standards, so the customer naturally assumed it was a problem with our platform. What a mess! This is a case of at least one person in the system being too creative, not to mention the poor dialogue between business and technical parties that Roger has already pointed out. Do developers need to know XML in order to hammer out interop issues? I'm afraid Michelle is right. If platform features are doing something clever on the wire, and if developers inadvertently use those features, they'll have to dig in and figure out what's going on. Now, I'm all for platform innovation, so I'm not suggesting platforms shouldn't be clever, particularly if doing so enables new scenarios for customers. But as platform vendors, the best thing you can do for customers is let them know when they're coloring within the lines and when they're working freehand. We need to be clear with customers about when they can expect out-of-the-box interoperability and when they may have to roll up their sleeves and look at XML. Now, Indigo will do that with turnkey bindings. If a developer uses a turnkey binding, they get straightforward use of web services protocols, following the latest standards and profiles. By design, nothing clever with turnkey bindings. For instance, Indigo's basic HTTP binding implements only the WSI basic profile 1.1, and Indigo's WSHTTP binding implements the WSI basic security profile. Oh, and in case you were interested, this particular customer's problem was that the first platform used a referencing style for X509 certs that is valid per WS security, but is outside the WSI basic security profile.
Hello, this is Dare. As a customer of Web Services Toolkits, I disagree with the assertions that Michelle and Roger made about customers not needing to know the details of the web services protocols that their toolkits support. The assertion that a customer can get away with only needing to know if they want their service to be secure or reliable, on the face of it sounds enticing and compelling, but is patently false. The only time customers can focus on high-level abstractions like, do I want my service to be secure, or do I want my service to be reliable, and not worry about the protocol details, is if they work in a homogeneous environment. For example, all the endpoints they're interacting with all use the same toolkit, such as all our services use Indigo or Apache Axis, or what have you. Even within a Microsoft shop like MSN, you have people building web services using the .NET framework, ASP.NET web services. You have people calling web services using unmanaged C++. And, you know, you might have some bleeding edge people using the WSI WSE 3.0 and ASP.NET framework, right? So in this case, you have people using three disparate toolkits that have differing levels of support for various WS standards and SOAP and WSL and so on. And there are interoperability problems, let alone if you're an MSN property such as MSN Spaces or what have you, they want to expose an API to external developers. Then there you have to worry about people who may not even be using Microsoft platforms, if you're using Java platforms such as Apache Axis, Perl, Python, even Ruby on Rails. And you have to think about how you can interop and support all these scenarios. So you can't just go, well, we want our service to be reliable and secure, if you don't know whether the partners you're interacting with support WS security or WS reliable messaging or WS addressing. So understanding who your customers are and what the partners you're going to be interacting with can support is very key and very important for users of web services. And no matter how sophisticated any one toolkit gets, I still have to know that my toolkit supports WS security, WS addressing, and whatever, and then I have to know what the major toolkits my callers can be using support as well.
This is Roger Sessions again. In the last podcast, I made the point that the web service standards, for all the press they receive, actually have little or no relevance to the typical enterprise user. As I said, these standards are not about how one application communicates with another application. These standards are about how one vendor's infrastructure communicates with another vendor's infrastructure. And although not all my fellow podcasters seem to agree with that, I stand by the statement. Think of web service standards as like TCP/IP. It's down there someplace, but the further it stays away from you, the better. Who cares if the platform supports some arcane web service standard that more than likely will be obsolete within another 6 months anyway? It is platform capabilities that are important, not how those capabilities are implemented. But the fact that you don't need to worry about web service standards doesn't exactly let you off the hook as far as interoperability goes. It just means that you need to worry about things a little higher up on the food chain. One of the main things you should be worried about is the ability of your platform to support advanced enterprise applications. After all, interoperability is only worthwhile if you have applications that are worth interoperating with. So what should you look for to build these great applications? Here are some of the issues that I think are important. The first is the abstraction of web service support into the operating system. As I've said before, the less you need to know about web service standards, the happier you will be. Second is a top-notch database that has built-in support for XML. The more you care about interoperability, the more you will be using XML documents as a way of sending information back and forth. And the more you're using XML, the more you will appreciate not having to convert data back and forth for the convenience of the database. Third is an integrated set of collaborative, agile software development tools. These tools need to cover the entire life cycle of software development, from initial conception to final release management. Fourth is a workflow processing engine. Many people call these engines enterprise service buses, but I think this term has become all but meaningless. I call these engines web service orchestration engines because they need to focus on support for applications wrapped as web services. These engines need to support highly scalable and reliable workflow. They also need tools for designing workflow scenarios, processing business rules, and translating data between systems. But even all of this is only part of the picture. Technology, after all, is just an enabler. Without good architectures, technology is useless, sometimes worse than useless. So you need good architectures, and this means training, but this is another topic for another podcast.
I'm the host of ArtCast, Harry Pearson. Don't forget the conversation continues next week, so tune in.